And now for reading, writing, and radio.
WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University presents Reading and Writing and Radio, a program about creative writing. Your host is Jacqueline Jackson, children's author and professor of literature at Sangamon State University.
Today we're broadcasting the first of our reading and writing and radio shows produced by you kids. You'll hear three today, each 5 or 6 minutes long, so you'll have three topics to choose from for your writing. Ready? Here goes our first show.
Mysteries. Therese Clark's Title I reading class from Memorial School, Taylorville, brings you
Mysteries!
A myth is a story that is like a fable and is like a fairy tale, but it tells you how and why something is the way it is.
Today we will perform for you four myths we have written. The first is How the Leopard Got Its Spots.
Many years ago in 2000 BC,
boy, I wish we weren't yellow because our enemies can see us everywhere we go. We've been attacked 20 times or more.
It's terrible.
Where are we supposed to hide?
Oh no, there's a dinosaur. Let's get out of here.
Oh no, we tripped over a rock. We're going to land in the mud.
Let's see if we can shake off the mud.
It won't come off. What do we do now?
Look, there's black clouds. It's going to storm.
Let's stay out in the rain so we can wash off the mud.
It didn't all come off. It left black spots on us.
Look, there's a mossy log that is spotted like us.
A dinosaur is coming. Let's hide by a log. Let's hope he doesn't step on us.
He didn't see us.
Lucky we tripped over that rock. The dinosaur really saved us in a way.
And that is how the leopard got its spots.
This myth was written by Todd Spinner
and Mike Welch,
but it could be you.
The second myth is how the monkey got its long tail.
In Africa, there were several monkey families with short, stubby tails.
I need help. My arms are full of bananas.
Wait, I'll be up in a minute.
Arms are full. How are we going to get out?
Why don't you drop the bananas?
Okay.
Look, they took off our bananas.
Hey, get back here.
We have to pick more bananas. We can't drop them anymore.
My arms are getting full and heavy again.
We will have to take them down ourselves and then come back for more.
Oh, we're falling.
I wish we had a way to hang on.
Help!
Oh, oh, oh! I am the eagle. I think I better help them. I'll grab that short tail.
The monkey dropped the bananas and grabbed hold of a branch. The eagle grabbed hold of the monkey's tail.
Ow, that hurts! Don't stretch my tail, ow!
Wow, you've got a long tail.
Look, see how I can hang on to trees with my tail?
I wish I had a long tail like you have.
Me too!
The eagle came back and stretched the other monkey's tails too. And that is how the monkey got his long tail.
The authors and the actors in this myth are Lori Childs,
Betty Miller,
Steve Seiler,
Scott Buster,
Renee Sexton,
Michelle Gatton,
Cleese Ford,
Danny Nation.
The third myth is how the eagle got its bald head.
Long time ago, in 1776, eagles had a full head of hair.
Hey, food! Come on, let's go eat it.
It's a shad.
Looks good.
I get the body, you get the head.
Save some for me.
Let's chow down.
Oh, I feel sick. My stomach.
I'm dizzy.
Some scientists approach on horseback.
Hey, look at the eagle. They're lying on the ground.
I wonder what's the matter with them.
Let's go help them.
Yeah, let's go.
They're sick. Let's take them to the lab and examine them.
Oh!
I found it. They ate poison shad.
We've got to find a cure or they'll die.
As the eagles flap their wings, they knocked over a bottle of acid. It falls on the heads of the eagles.
Oh, no!
Our hair, it's burning off.
Will my hair ever go back?
No, I pray not, Oak Chum.
And that is how the eagles got its bald head. Eagles and scientists who wrote this myth were
Margaret Amos,
Mary Champlin,
Ricky Kennedy,
Todd Meese,
Crystal Lemon,
Gary Welch.
Our last myth is how the raccoon got its mask.
What's wrong? Why are you crying?
We don't like our faces.
Everybody makes fun of us.
We're ugly.
I wish I had a different face.
I wish I had a new face.
I just wish I wasn't so ugly.
I can help you.
Who are you?
I'm the animal helper.
But first, I'm hungry.
Why don't we go trash can hunting?
I saw a full one back there.
I just saw a guy put some trash in it.
I saw some meat in it.
Chomp, 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 chomp.
This is good.
Delicious.
I wonder if there's any more.
I just saw something else.
What is it?
It's something black with two holes in it. Here are some more.
Let's get them. Let's see what they are.
They've got something white all over one side. It's not good to eat.
Hold them up to your eyes.
It's stuck. I can't get it off.
I can't either.
It's a mask with super glue. Now you have something to cover your ugly faces.
Yay!
And that is how the raccoon got its mask.
This myth was written by
Marion Irwin,
Paul Jonas,
Tully McConnell,
Barbara Sexton,
Michael Tudor,
and I am Chris Benjamin.
What can you write today? You can write a myth, tell one of ours better, or tell how the zebra got its stripes, or the beaver got its flat tail, or the lion got its mane. Choose any animal and tell why or how something happened to it. Now we'll listen to When the Gremlins Got in the School.
A little gremlin wanted to cause trouble, so he looked in the newspaper to find a nice school to go to. He found a nice school and went inside. The gremlin decided to cause trouble in Mrs. Pettyjohn's classroom. Mrs. Pettyjohn was explaining math. The gremlin hid in the teacher's cabinet until lunchtime. All the kids had gone outside after lunch. The gremlin did a few things in the teacher's cabinet. First, he smashed Mrs. Pettyjohn's granola bar. Then he painted her leather coat green. He drew a gorilla on Mrs. Pettyjohn's desk with her face on it. The gremlin ate all the students' books. He drew funny faces on the chalkboard. He mixed up the alphabet and set the clock at 7 o'clock when it was really 12:30. Just then the bell rang and the students lined up and came into the classroom. The students called Mrs. Pettyjohn. When Mrs. Pettyjohn saw the room, she said, "I think we had a visitor."
This story was written by Roberta Cotton in Mrs. Pettyjohn's fourth grade at Jefferson School, but it could be yours.
goodness, here we are all ready to go in the room and get back to work, and I can't find my keys to unlock the door. I know I had them when we left. Have you seen them, Meredith Kelly?
I remember you had them in your pocket when we went outside. I thought you put them in your pocket.
Wait, Mrs. Pettigen, I think I hear them jingle when you move.
But, Christine, I felt in my pockets, and they're not there. The gremlins have been after me.
Shake your coat again, Mrs. Pettigen. I know I heard them.
You're right, Darren. They're down in the lining of my coat. Now, I know that hole wasn't in my pocket this morning. It must be the gremlins. Okay, everybody, in the room now.
All the pictures are torn off the picture board. What did you find, Michelle?
They drew terrible, ugly, rotten pictures of Miss Pettigen and wrote our names on them. What'd you find wrong, Terrence?
The clock is running backwards. Did you find something surprising, Randy?
The flags are torn off. The stars are torn off the flag and thrown on the floor. Can you find anything unusual, Steve?
Look, the pencil sharpener is gone. Is there anything wrong with your desk, Tony?
My creative writing for Jackie Jackson has footprints on good paper. What are you frowning for, Phil?
Someone's been in my lunchbox, and my potatoes are scattered everywhere. What are you looking at, Jennifer?
Our guinea pig's food is all over the floor. How do you suppose it happened, Marcus?
Our desks are scooted back. They could have been having guinea pig races. Why are you looking so confused, Jenny?
What a mess. And this isn't my desk, and these aren't my papers. The gremlins have been here. Have you found anything strange, Brenda?
The desktops are off the desk, and there is writing in chalk on the walls. Why are you tearing your hair, Tracy?
I left this film strip on, but the pictures disappeared on it. Why are you looking at the chart, Wally?
We all did our multiplication tables, and now all the stars are off it. Why are you staring at the assignment board, Candy?
The assignment is changed on the board. Do you really want us to do 900 problems, Miss Pettigen? Why do you keep going around your desk, Corey? I'm trying to find my math test. I did it. I know I did it, Mrs. Pettigen, and now it's gone.
Have you ever had something go wrong in your classroom and no one would admit they did it?
Have you ever blamed the gremlins for something that happened at home?
Have you ever had a day when you thought the gremlins were after you because nothing went right?
Write to us about your experiences. That was from Jefferson School, Springfield. And last we have Name That Crunch.
This food is being eaten by the 5th-hour English class of Verdon High School, but it could be you. Today, you young refrigerator raiders and between-meal snackers, we're going to talk about what you all like, food.
Here's a poem entitled Potato Chips by Myra Conn Livingston. Oh, I've been walking with a bag of potato chips, me and potato chips munching along. Walking alone, eating potato chips, big old potato chips crunching along. Walking alone, munching potato chips, me and potato chips lunching along.
Here's a portion of an essay by one of our class members, Greg Maneris. This tells us some facts on food consumption.
Food is one of our most important daily needs. Do you know that the average adult consumes 30 pounds of food a week? That's 1,500 pounds a year. In a lifetime of 72 years, your body consumes about 108,000 pounds of food. That's 54 tons.
Now that you've heard about how much you eat, here's a poem about things you like to eat. This poem was written by Marchette Shute.
When I go walking down the street, there's lots of things I like to eat, like pretzels from the Pretzel Man and buttered popcorn in a can, and chocolate peppermints to lick and candy apples on a stick. Oh, there are many things to chew while walking down the avenue.
Next is a story by Chris Hart, who wrote about things she doesn't like to eat. Chris is also in his fifth hour English class.
I can hear my mom yelling at me as I sneak my after-school snack. Chris, if you would eat your vegetables and drink your milk now and then, you wouldn't need to snack. She has said that since I was old enough to reach and get food for myself. Vegetables are the worst possible thing to eat, especially carrots. Carrots always get to me because they're so squishy. They look like little orange critters. Then my mom would say, "But those carrots will make you see better." So I forced those ugly orange critters down. But somehow I always managed to get out of eating some of them. And then there's your slurpy and nutritious milk. I always hated milk because I was allergic to it. But my mom would say to my sister, "Milk will make you grow up to be big and strong, and it will help your bones grow." Now I can remember thinking that if I did drink my milk, I would grow up to be big and strong. Then today there's always TV commercials about food. The one that really gets to me is, "Don't worry, Mom, I'm eating right at Arby's." I wonder if moms really pay attention to their, just because their little darlings are eating at Arby's. What does Arby's have that any other restaurant doesn't? Food hasn't changed all that much, but when you're eating, just make sure that you're eating to please yourself and not someone else.
Even the best foods have their bad points, as author Lynn Mead tells us in her poem about ice cream.
Ice cream is cold, soft, sweet. So delightful and cool. It comes in good flavors, too, but it drips.
Now let's look at a food from a saliva gland point of view as we hear this story by Pam Gooden.
I am the most important part of the digestive system, for if it weren't for me, none of the food that passes by me could be broken down enough to be swallowed. All day and all night I work to make life of the mouth a little easier. I am the head gland, the big boss. Yep, it's me that keeps this mouth running like it ought to. All day long, I work to break down food and mix with drinks. I put up with everything from beets to bubblegum. Nighttime is a tough shift. We have to keep an assembly line going in order to produce enough saliva to keep the mouth from drying out. The job is tough, but it's good, has its good points, too. For instance, in a day's time, I see everything from pizza at breakfast to cereal before bed. Now that is work for us. In our wildest dreams, we never thought that a life in the mouth could come to this. But times are changing, and so are diets. One good thing for me is that food will never go out of style.
Saliva glands really go through a lot, especially if Johnny is cooking.
Some Cook, by an unknown author. Johnny made a custard in the pepper pot, flavored it with mustard, put in quite a lot of garlic fried in olive oil, brought the custard to a boil, ate it up and burned his tongue. You shouldn't cook when you're too young.
But cooking isn't all we can do with food. We can dream of it, we can eat it, we can sing of it, and we can even write about it. Maybe someday you'd like to write about your favorite things to eat. Okay. We're the fifth hour English class of Vernon High School, and I'm Danny Eldridge, and here's the rest of my classmates.
Mike Charles.
Dustin Traylor.
Craig Mueller.
Todd Lynch.
Greg Manerich.
Chris Hart.
Sam Gooden.
Bob Good.
Sonia Roby.
And I'm the teacher, Mrs. Broadhead.
We all bid you a fond farewell and happy eating.
Munch.
Crunch.
Munch. Squish. Squash.
Crunch.
Munch. Squish. Squash.
Slurp.
Slurp. Top. Chomp.
Splash. Gulp.
Slurp. Sip. Squish.
Gulp.
Slurp. Sip. Splish.
Squash.
Squash. Gulp. Slurp.
Chomp. Munch.
Crunch. Splish. Splash.
Munch.
Crunch. Splish. Splash.
Sip.
Splat. Squash.
Well, I'll quit licking my chops and wiping my chin, and thank you, all you students who produced those shows, for a terrific job. We'll be hearing three more student productions next month. Meanwhile, today you can make up a myth, for instance, how the faucet got its drip. They don't always need to be about animals. Or you can tell what the gremlins have done to you that can't be explained. Or you might want to write about food, wonderful food. That's a pretty wide range. We'll be eager to see what you come up with, and so will the producers of the shows. Finally, here's an ad. Plan to come to see my book, The Endless Pavement, put on as a musical at the Springfield Theater Guild, February 6, 7, and 8. Quite a few reading and writing and radio listeners are in our cast of 45 kids, and we get the audience in on the act, too. You'll have fun.
WSSR Radio has presented Reading and Writing and Radio. Send your writings to Jacqueline Jackson, Sangamon State University, Springfield, Illinois, 62708.